Well, we're honored to have Pastor Treiber with us. He has been such a friend to our church throughout our history, and of course, we have him every year, and it's a blessing, and so he's going to come tonight. Let's give him a warm welcome as he comes.
God bless you. What a great crowd on this Thursday evening, and I thank God for all of you. You know, I know we're on the internet now, so everybody's going to hear this. This church reminds me so much of our church. And there's not another church that reminds me like ours, like this. So pull up, the buses are the same. Your building's more beautiful, but that's Bobby. He didn't draw ours as nice as he drew all these buildings. But the buildings are breathtaking. And it's amazing what God has done in this place. And folks are still coming in. And thank God for all of you. Well, we're going to get right with it because you normally get out at 9:30 or 10, I think. I'm going to get you out at 11 tonight. I'm not preaching very long these days, Pastor. They timed me. They said, you're preaching about 28 minutes. So I guess my dad used to say, son, if you don't strike oil in 20 minutes, quit boring. So maybe we ought to quit boring, I guess. God bless all of you. And I thank God for this great church. And it's amazing. I knew all along what you did not know. I knew if you'd build this, it'd fill immediately. And look at this, that on a Thursday night, just packed down here on the lower floor, and some folks up in the balcony, and God's doing something great at your church. You know, you have a great pastor, Brother and Mrs. Myers. Brother and Mrs. Myers are good people. Does your wife still come to church here? Is she in church? She's in here somewhere. There you are. There you go. I saw you. But I praise God for both of you. I told my wife, they're one of my favorite couples. I praise God for them. And all their children and 18 grandkids. I have 14 grandkids, but I'm done. But 18. You know, you're at a very unusual time in your church's history because Pastor does have a good family. Our family stayed together for 15 years. And then one by one, they started to leave us. And but you have his family here. And then you have Brother Esposito and his family and all those great kids. And then all of you. And God's doing something very, very special. I brought a note for the Chua family. Are they here tonight? Where are they at? Are they here tonight? I got a note from their daughter from college, and if you have a college student at our place, write a note. Chow family. I've got the Chow family, but I write a note. Put money in it. I'll make sure they get the note and the money. And so, Brother Chow, God bless you. It says Chow right on here, but I get this to you right afterwards tonight. And you have a sweet girl. I appreciate you folks so much. Let's turn to the familiar story. Is this on right here? Is this microphone on? We're on? We're ready to go? Okay. You can go back to sleep. This one's for you. This one's for me. 1 Samuel 17, and it's the story of David and Goliath. We know the story so very well. But I want to preach to you on a subject that is really, it really is the need of the hour of Pacific Baptist Church. This is a message for you tonight. I hope you'll take heed to the message tonight. Because unless you embrace what I'm going to talk about, these will just be the glory years you talk about later. But these don't have to be the glory days. These could be the beginning of the glory days, the golden age, when God does the greatest miracles. And I believe God wants to do some great miracles. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, as we open up the scripture to this great, powerful text, I pray that you'd open our eyes to the Word of God. Help us to capture the thought of tonight is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, my subject is one word for this great church. And if you don't get this word right now, it's going to all be in vain. You have to have this word for your individual life if you're single. You have to live by it. You must live by this word. If you're a young married couple, and I know we've got young married couples, you have to live by this word. If you're a middle-aged couple or an older person or an elderly person, you have to have this word. I recall telling this word to my church 50 years ago. I said to my church, the word I'm going to give to you, I said, if you'll let me stay, we had 22 people. If you'll let me stay, I'll give you 50 years of my life. There have been two occasions when those 50 years were other opportunities opened up for me, just two. One was you would know it, it's nationwide ministry. And the other one you would know as well. And I was tempted for a season with that. But that's not what God's plan was. I remember saying to my people, I said, I promised them 50 years. Well, July 13th will be 50. I say, you're going to be done it July 13th? No, I told them I'm re-upping for another 50. And then I'm going to go into full-time evangelism after that. The word I want to bring to everyone's attention tonight is the word vision. Everyone must live with a vision in your life. Elementary school kids, junior high, high school, college, single adults, everyone, you must have a vision. A vision is taking a snapshot of the picture of the future and bringing it into the present. I have such a great vision for my church. We're not done. I'm planning, I've already got my messages planned for July 13th, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But I'm going to tell you right now, Sunday night, I'm presenting a new vision for them. I'm not saying that, look, if I lose my mind and forget that I'm here at First Methodist Nazarene Church tonight and wherever I'm at, if I forget what my name is, if I lose my memory, if I get senile, if I get feeling sickly, I'll not bother my church. I'll make room for the next guy. But right now, I've got my faculties, most of them. Come on. I've got more wisdom than I've ever had. Amen. I have a greater walk with God than I've ever had. Amen. And they need that. Amen. Those young couples that I minister, they need that. And they respect my wife and I. And they look to us as older people, yes, but people that they want to influence their lives. Yeah. It's great. And Pastor is certainly not my age. He's a lot younger. He's got years ahead of him. And his wife is certainly not my age. She's close. In another 40 years or so. But they're young. They got a lot of future ahead. But they have to have a vision. You built the building. What's your vision next? I don't know what Pastor's vision is. I don't, but a vision we're going to see tonight, if you can explain it, it wasn't of God. You cannot explain the vision. I published a 50-point pamphlet for our church about 8 years ago. Here are 50 items to our 50th anniversary that we're going to work on. And we've worked on them. And you know, about 40 of them have come to pass. One hasn't come to pass. I want a new college campus. That's not come to pass. I don't know it's going to come to pass next week, next month, next year, but it's going to come to pass. There you go. I've got a vision. Yep. And without a vision, people perish. I want you to see that in the Bible, Abraham had a vision for a nation, and God sent him on his journey over 700 miles. He didn't know where he was going, but he accepted the vision. I want you to know that Daniel had a vision. He purposed in his heart. He was away from his mother and dad. He could have sinned. He could have had the wine. He could have eaten the king's meat. But he said, my vision for my life is to honor my parents. He never saw his parents. He lived. He was boiled alive. He was thrown in the den of lions at age 90. He was a young teenager when he went there all of his life without any parental guidance. He had a vision for his life. For the Bible says that he purposed not to defile himself. I think all throughout the Word of God, Jonah had a vision. Joseph had a vision. Moses had a vision of the law for the people of God, in which America's laws are and our institution of the judicial and the federal, all the rights of our political parties are based on the Bible. I think of Nehemiah, he had a vision to build the wall. I think of Gideon had a vision to walk around the wall to 300 people. I think of all the different visions in the Bible. Without a vision, taking a picture of the future and bringing it into the present. Let's look at that vision tonight. I want you to see that it's not a vision if it's easy. It's not a vision if it's what?
Easy.
If it's easy, it's not a vision. What's the Bible say in verse number 8, chapter 17, verse 8? And he stood, Goliath did, and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose you out a man for you. Let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, and we shall be your servants. But if I prevail against our servants, you'll serve us. The Philistines say, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Here was a big giant of a man, 9'6". Here was a little shepherd boy. Here was a warrior. Here was a little boy that kept the sheep. Here was a man that had armament. And here's a boy that had a sling. See, you can't explain how that this guy is going to fall prey to a little stone in his forehead. But he did. If you can explain it, if it's easy. He's a man. He's a youth. But the Bible says that God won a great victory that night, that day. If it's easy, I wouldn't call it much of a vision. If you can explain it, I wouldn't call it much of a vision. D.L. Moody was talking to his son. And as he's talking to his son, he said, son, if God is real, and if God's word is real, then make big plans for God and go do it. That's what vision is about. Secondly, I want you to see with me, vision, it's not a vision if followers are afraid. It's not a vision if followers are not afraid. Verse number 11, look what it says. Now, when Saul and all the Israel heard these words, the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Pastor gets a vision for this church, this building, these buildings, this property was a vision. He saw it. He inherited the building project. But you perhaps did not see it. Pastor's going to have a vision for this church. I don't know what it is. Maybe his vision is to buy every house on that street. Wouldn't that be something? 600,000, 700,000, 800,000 a house. Just buy the whole street. Amen. I'll do my own amen. It takes longer. Just buy the whole street. Buy the rest home. Say, it's not possible. Well, that's what you think, but the leader thinks it is possible. These followers were scared to death. They said, we can't win over a giant. I want you to see thirdly with me tonight. It's not a vision if it doesn't ruffle feathers. I don't know anything about your building project, but you lost members. True? Sure you did. You always lose members. When you say rise up and build, the devil says rise up and oppress. Look what the Bible says in verse 28. You always ruffle feathers. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard they spake the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. There, come down that you might see the battle. I know, brother, you're a fake. I know you're a phony. Because followers don't have the faith oftentimes that the leader has. But God gives you followers that they develop that faith. Here was a brother criticizing his brother. By the way, number four, let's look what it is. It's not a vision if there's no cause. Verse 29 says, what have I now done? David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, as they talked about the buses tonight? Isn't there a cause? I've met several boys that are new in the Christian school the last several months, and they're just so on fire for God. Those boys and these young girls, that's a cause. Those little girls singing up here, I saw all just so beautiful little girls. They're a cause for this church. Those wheels of mercy that you have out here called buses, that's a cause. The rest homes you're in, you are snatching people right from the brink of hell, right from the brink of death. You know, we have 19 rest homes we're in. And the one right next to the Clyde Avenue property, no one that lived there 50 years ago is still alive. They're all dead. My wife and I live on the intersection of the street that the fire truck has to go over, and they blow the horn all day long, all night long. And they blow that horn, and I say, and then they get over the expressway, and then they turn down Clyde Avenue, and they stop the siren. And I said, they're going to Clyde Avenue. They go every day. And they're hauling people out of that rest home dying every day. Isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause for your neighborhood? Isn't there a cause for the lost? Dost thou not care that millions are dying in sin and despair, waiting for someone to tell them of Jesus? Yes, waiting everywhere. I've been so burdened. We're building this addition out front of our academic building. And I've been so burdened for the man running the project. He's about a 40-year-old man. He's a husband. Grew up, he told me the story a few weeks ago that his dad, when he found out his mother was expecting, he left her 40 years ago. Said, I've never had a dad in my life. But he's a wonderful husband. He's a wonderful father of two children. But he knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been praying for him. I've been witnessing to him that I could lead him to Christ. You know, I went out on Wednesday afternoon right before church. And they were finishing up for the day. And he goes, well, Pastor, this is my last day here. They're moving me over to Monterey Carmel area. And I'm going to run a big project over there. They're going to bring another man in here because that project needs some attention. And I said, you know, I've talked to you about this before. And to make a long story short, I took him through the plan of salvation. And he got gloriously saved. Amen. Don't you care that people are dying without Christ? Every second, two to three people are dying. Every time you snap your finger, someone's dying. I read a report years ago. I don't have that to back it up, so I just have to take my word for it. That 98% of this world claim they're not saved. 98% of this world claim they know not Jesus Christ. Well, when you think of the billion people in India and the billion people in China, and to think of the religions of the world, I imagine that would be a true number. But that would mean 98% of the people are dying and going to hell. That's why hell hath enlarged itself. There's a cause tonight. I want you to see number five. I got so many. I'll just give you one or two more. It's not a vision if someone doesn't answer the call. Somebody has to answer this call. Look what it says in verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to fight against this Philistine. Fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear to took out the lamb out of the flock, and I went after him. I smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. God is going to raise up a man of God with an answer to the call. I'll go. I'll forget about my 401k, and I'll forget about my retirement package, and I'll forget about, and I'll go to a world that needs Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll go to the mission field. I'll never own a new car. I'll never own a new this. I'll never. And by the way, I thank God that sent many, most stay, and we need you. We've got to support those that go, but many in this room need to go. So, well, who will take their spot? God always fills it. Let me close. I'm not done, but I'll close. Let me give you one more. It's not a victory. It's not a vision without victory. Look at verse 49. David put his hand in the bag and took out a thatch of stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. There is no sword in the hand of David. David ran and stood on the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw it, their champion was dead, they fled. You know, God always brings victory. We serve a victorious God from victory unto victory. Amen. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. I think of these 50 years we enjoyed it, went so fast. I don't know where my youthful days have gone. I went to that church in my 20s, and we spent our 20s and our 30s. I remember when I turned 33, I said, I don't mean this irreverent, but I told my church, Jesus Christ did his greatest work at age 33. I want this to be the greatest year of my life. Amen. But then I used my 30s up, and I used my 40s up. And I used my 50s up. And I used all my 60s up, and now into my 70s. God's been so good to us. He's done exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You know, in 1956, when I was sitting back over here, Brother Gary, about where you're sitting, in a little building about that big, that section, we had no electricity. We had lanterns glowing that night. 69 years ago, I remember sitting next to my dad. And our pastor preached. And I'll never forget not going out the first stanza. I was too afraid to go down and tell him I needed to be saved. But in God's goodness and his grace to my heart, that second stanza, I stepped out. And oh, the relief that came to my soul right at that moment. And I walked down that aisle. And I said to the pastor, I want to get saved tonight. And they said, Viva Morningstar. come and lead Jackie to Christ. You know, that was 69 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. And somehow, I've become the old man on the block. And I've not lived a perfect life. And I don't deserve to be the pastor of such a great church. But looking back, I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for my Lord. I don't regret the time I've trusted in His Word. I've seen the days go by, many days without the sun. But I don't regret a mile. We've had so many sorrows in our life with people, staff members, church members. People you win to Christ and you think you have them for a lifetime, and then they turn around and sue you. We've had the sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. We've had the sorrow of couples breaking up. My wife won a man to Christ 2 years ago, and he's been doing so well. Doing so well. Until 2 nights ago, he went back to the bottle. Until about 4 months ago, he went back to the bottle and got cleaned out again. And now he failed again. He's got a little baby, 3 months old. It looks like she's not going to take him back this time. We've had sorrows. You, Pastor, you can write a book on sorrows in the ministry. But I'm so very grateful that God called me to the ministry. Now, I'm holding on to the ministry. Serve God with your life. Amen. Get a vision for your life. Our Father, certainly every person here needs a vision. They need a vision for their life, for their marriage, for their home, for a family. I prayed every day of my life for our three kids to go in the ministry. All three are in the ministry tonight. I'm thankful for answered prayer. All of our grandkids are in church. They read their Bibles every day. They pray every day. All 14 of them. There's never a day goes by they don't read their Bible and pray. Some are graduated from college now. Some are finishing up college. Some are finishing up high school seniors now this year and graduating. God, it's been such a fast journey. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, satisfy us early with thy goodness. I pray tonight that every person here would capture a vision. Dad, a vision of reading the Bible to his family every night. A vision of praying with his children every night. A vision of raising for God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What's your vision tonight? What's your vision? Say, well, I'm old too, but I have such great vision. I've taken the future and brought it into the present. What's your vision tonight? Pastor, pray for me with my vision. All around the house, would you lift your hands, and hands are going up. Pray that I'd have a vision that's eternity. Thank you, may put them down. Are you here without Christ? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven or hell, or don't you know? Who would, with our hands down, who would like to raise their hands and say, I need to be saved. I need to be saved tonight. I'm looking across the auditorium. Is there anyone like that in this auditorium tonight? I need to be saved. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, help us to develop a vision for our life. A vision to help this church. There are some that you have given the gift of making money. Oh, God, bless them with money that they just earn, and may they dump it in the ministry here. I pray that every need that Pastor has would be met through the people that have the gift of making money. I pray for those that have the gift of teaching that they'd all get a class and begin to teach. learn how to be a teacher. I pray for those that have the gift of helps, that use their gift of helps for others. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you come forward right now? Folks are coming. I love you folks dearly. I love you so much. God knows I love you. Pastor's going to conduct the invitation. He'll know how to deal with you. He'll know how to pray with you. This reminds me so much of my church, Pastor, right here. This is what it's like every service. Soft hearts, tender hearts. I love you folks so much. God bless you, Pastor.